and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President-elect Donald Trump attended yesterday's Army-Navy game.
That's really great. I think a president should always show up for this game, no matter what party they are.
We're glad to have the president-elect in the House. We may not all agree with everything, but it's good that he's coming to support America's game just like we are.
Navy beat Army 31-13. They're settling out of court. CBS's Bradley Blackburn reports.
Trump and ABC News agreed to settle a defamation lawsuit, with ABC paying $15 million toward Trump's presidential library and foundation, and $1 million to cover Trump's legal fees.
ABC had wrongly stated a jury found Donald Trump raped writer E. Jean Carroll. He was found liable for sexual abuse and defamation. On those drone sightings.
I've written Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin asking the Pentagon to authorize the use of force to down one or more of these unmanned threats to uncover the mystery.
CBS News Brief.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. The Wisconsin Innocence Project is ending the year with some key victories, including helping with the release of two men who each spent decades in prison. But their cases illustrate systemic issues. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
David Vince spent 25 years in prison, and Manuel Cucuta spent 27 years in prison. Both were sentenced to life despite glaring holes in their cases. The Wisconsin Innocence Project believed both are innocent. Project co-director Christopher Lau says it speaks to a greater systemic issue that colors most of their cases and reinforces what it was designed to do.
So part of this is just historical, you know, the way our policing and incarceration system evolved was from basically their vestiges of slavery, and you know, we try to keep down historically underrepresented people.
He says while not everyone may adopt those views, there is a lot of pressure to close cases and keep people incarcerated. The U.S. incarcerates more people for longer than any other developed country in the world. Compared with Wisconsin's total population, Black and Native people are overrepresented in the incarcerated population, with Black people incarcerated at a rate 11 times higher than white people. Lau says in order to even begin to think about reform, the U.S. and the state of Wisconsin need to re-examine priorities and funding, as well as rethink the point of doling out such long sentences when it doesn't keep communities safer.
Good arguments that it makes us less safe, but we still keep doing it because it's, I think, one, easy politically, and it's because it's where we put all of our money.
He says regardless of guilt or innocence, there are simply too many people who are incarcerated. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Advance to the finals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. At the NBA Cup in Las Vegas, the Bucks with a 110-102 win over Atlanta. So how did Milwaukee's Andre Jackson Jr. and the Bucks do to slow down the Hawks' Trae Young, who had 35 points? Doc Rivers.
You know, our game plan was to try to make him play against one-on-one. Dre deserves a lot of credit. Trae can have those games where it can hurt you. When he does that, he's not helping anybody else. And so that's what we're trying to do as much as we can. I thought we did a pretty good job of it.
The Bucks face the Thunder Tuesday night at 7:30 in the championship game. College hoops, Wisconsin over Butler, 83-74. Number 6 ranked Marquette upset, losing on the road to Dayton, 71-63. NFL, Packers and the Seahawks tonight on Sunday Night Football. I asked Jaden Reed if quarterback Jordan Love is doing a better job of finding the open receiver.
Yeah, no doubt. Jay Love does a great job of identifying and, you know, finding the open man, you know, when we have to adjust the route. Yeah, no doubt.
That's Packers wide receiver Jaden Reed with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A little bit of light rain possible. Along with that, cloud cover and some patchy fog. Highs reaching the lower 40s, a light south breeze. Clouds in upper 30s in the overnight. Just a little bit of light rain possible. That should carry over into the first half of Monday. Right now, it's 40.
Runnings in Burlington wants to help you check everything off your holiday list and save big while you're at it. This Sunday is Runnings' 10% off almost anything sale. Whether it's power tools for the handyman, cozy gear for the outdoor adventurer, holiday decor for the home, or supplies for your furry friends, don't miss the chance to give the gift of quality and savings. 10% off almost anything store-wide for one day only at Runnings in Burlington on Milwaukee Avenue. They're your trusted partner for all your home, farm, and outdoor needs.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What's your perfect night? Maybe you're settled at home alone or with loved ones, covered in blankets, about to watch your favorite show. It's cozy, it's calm, and you're ready for a perfect night in. Therapy can feel a bit like that, a place for comfort, a time when you replenish your energy and take care of yourself. And hey, you can even do it without leaving that same cozy couch. This season is the perfect time to give therapy a try, right from the comfort of home. With BetterHelp, get matched with a tailored therapist based on your needs and preferences, entirely online. Designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find comfort this season with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/remedy today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/remedy.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council. Services and the Ad Council. Services and the Ad Council.
Good morning again, everybody. The music of the stars on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Lou Regani, all the way till high noon. High noon. Low tide. Let's see, the Pete Elman Big Band out of Naperville. What a band. Ernie Anschutz wrote this, not this. That's Fran Fry for Big Town. Daniel Moore put it all together. Goes back so far back, nobody knows who wrote it. We just know who arranged it. Oh, Schwingenbraun. Knows how to crank up a swinging Christmas. Chris Worvey, David Katz on solo with Pete Allman Big Band and Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, how I wish for an old-fashioned Christmas, the kind we used to have so long ago. With snow upon the church spires and those chestnuts roasting on fires and pretty girls just waiting underneath the mistletoe. Oh, how I wish for an old-fashioned Christmas with candy canes and Merry Christmas chimes.
Merry Christmas chimes.
Oh, I could go for an old-fashioned Christmas and lose myself in dreams of simpler times. Looking back, perhaps we were naive, but you know, on every Christmas Eve, there was peace on earth and goodwill to all, while we sang each Christmas carol. Oh, how we need one more old-fashioned Christmas, where Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, and the rest. Oh, how I wish for an old-fashioned Christmas, that's the kind of Christmas that I love the best. That's the kind of Christmas that I love the best. Looking back, perhaps we were naive, but I pray that someday we'll achieve lasting peace on earth and goodwill to all. It starts with just one Christmas carol. Oh, how we need one more old-fashioned Christmas with Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, and the rest. Oh, how I wish for old-fashioned Christmas, that's the kind of Christmas that I love the best.
That I love the best.
That's the kind of Christmas that I love the best. That's the kind of Christmas that I love the best.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all, with those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. For hosting marshmallows, for toasting and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago.
Put on your seatbelts, everybody. Put on your food belts. Oh, no, it's not that time of year again. No, it can't be. It can't.
It's the most fattening time of the year, with that pumpkin pie filling and everyone swilling down eggnog and beer. It's the most fattening time of the year. It's the lip-smackin'est season of all. While you're shopping, you're cheating, impulsively eating that junk at the mall. It's the heaviest season of all. There'll be turkeys for basting and stuffing for tasting, and giblets and gravy will flow. There'll be cookies that Mom baked and a leftover fruitcake from a Christmas a long time ago. It's the scale flattening time of the year. While your diet you're blowing, there's calories going straight down to your rear. It's the scale flattening time of the year.
Hey, wait a minute, wait a minute. I know there's food everywhere. Eggnog flowing out of fountains. It's like one big bar mitzvah. But listen, you don't have to do that. You could have small portions and make ribbons instead of fudge. You can do it. Please try.
It's too cold to go jogging, too brisk for tobogganing, so pass me a hot buttered roll.
Don't you dare touch that roll, I'm watching!
It's the most fattening time of the year. All those gingerbread shingles and chocolate Kris Kringles will tremble in fear. It's the most fattening time. It's a belt-loosening time. It's the most fattening time of the year.
I'm watching!
My name is Victor Buono, and I'm fat. I've always been fat. I was a fat baby and a fat boy, and now I'm a fat man. My acquaintances seldom use the word fat in my presence. They feel that it would be as unkind as using the word drunk in the presence of an alcoholic, and so they use other words. Plump. Stout. Chubby. Big bone. For a long time, they said it was baby fat and would burn off sometime in adolescence. But along about my 30th birthday, that particular theory bit the dust because it was evident that it had not burned off and was not about to burn off, and that any attempt to burn it off would constitute a public fire hazard. And I was happy to see that particular adolescence theory die anyway. At the age of 30, there's nothing more unsettling than the thought of a delayed attack of puberty. I'm resigned to being fat. And I wish people would stop using euphemisms. Because I'm fat. I'm fat. That's all there is to that. You might think it etiquette to say that I am heavy set or just big bone. You wanna bet I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm fat. Portly, chubby, plump, and stout. Everyone's a diplomat. Why not let it all hang out and go ahead and call me fat? So please, don't think you're being kind by pretending to be blind. Just take a look at my physique. There's only one word, fat. And I'm not really unhappy being fat. There are times when it's inconvenient, such as when I'm trying to ladle myself into a theater seat, or trying to get all of me through a turnstile at one pass, or calling the lobby to tell them that the bed has broken again. I'm fat. It would be untruthful to deny it. It would also be impossible. Because my failing is my flag. Some men can sin and conceal it. They're bandits, but no one gets wise. When I sin, my seams will reveal it. My crime is proclaimed by my size. Some folks are awful and lawful. They're loaded with loot, but who'd know it? I try to sneak it a waffle, and 5 minutes later, I show it. The fella who sells marijuana could walk down the street like a saint, and his sister may seem a Madonna, but the Vice Squad can prove that she ain't. Since pounds are like crimes, they can nail me on well over 300 counts and try me for each pound and jail me. I hope I'm not fined by the ounce. I'm guilty of imperfect diet. My weight shows I'm pizza pie prone. I know it's no good to deny it. Now, who wants to cast the first stone? Or to be a bit more blunt, although my belt may not be svelt, I've never felt disgusted. The kind of pot that I have got will never get me busted.
That's Victor Buono. And this is John Lithgow.
Turn off the telly, Nelly. Come to the table, Mabel. Now sit up straight, Kate. It's time to eat, Pete. Have a banana, Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy. Get with the gravy, Davy. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Try a tomato, Plato. Here's cacciatore, Dory. Taste the bologna, Tony. Everybody eats when they come to my house. I fix your favorite dishes, hoping this good food fills you. Work my hands to the bone in the kitchen alone. You better eat if it kills you. Pass me a pancake, Mandrake. Sample a taco, Paco. Have an hors d'oeuvre, Irby. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Davy, Tommy, Dora, Mandrake. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Pasta, Fazula, Tallulah. Oh, do have a bagel, Fagel. Now don't be so bashful, Nashville. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Hey, this is a party, Marty. You get the cherry, Jerry. Now look, don't be so picky, Mickey. Everybody eats when they come to my house. All of my friends are welcome. Now don't make me nag ya, mag ya. Eat the tables, the chairs, the napkins, who cares? Eat all my things if they gag ya. Have a frittata latte. Nibble a kibble, Sybil. Chili con carne for Barney. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Face! Busta! Cher! Chops! Thump! Everybody eats when they come to my house. Steak! Dick! Pie! Side! Juice! Brute! Tart! Bart! Everybody eats when they come to my...
Yes, sir. What do we got for dinner?
Anything you like, sir. You might have some tomato juice, orange juice, grape juice, pineapple juice.
Hey, turn off the juice before I get electrocuted. All right, let me have one of each. And two fried eggs, two poached eggs, two scrambled eggs, and two medium-boiled eggs.
And two hard-boiled eggs.
And two hard-boiled eggs. Make that three hard-boiled eggs. And some roast beef, rare, medium, well done, and overdone.
And two hard-boiled eggs.
And two hard-boiled eggs. Make that three hard-boiled eggs. And 8 pieces of French pastry.
This two hard-boiled eggs.
And two hard-boiled eggs. Make that three hard-boiled eggs. And one duck egg. Have you got any stewed prunes?
Yes, sir.
Well, give them some black coffee. That'll sober them up.
And two hard-boiled eggs.
And two hard-boiled eggs. It's either foggy out or make that 12 more hard-boiled eggs.
Please,
sir. I want some more.
What?
Please, sir. I want some more.
More?
Anyway, we shouldn't be eating because we're going to have a big party after the show.
Right. What are we going to have, huh?
The menu is something to sing about now.
What are we going to have, huh?
Bloody Marys and blue champagne.
What are we going to have?
How about a few old fashions coming through the rye?
What are we going to have?
Rum and Coca-Cola, old buttermilk sky.
I'm keeping my eye peeled on you.
And cocktails for two or three or four.
Let's eat!
Shrimp boats are a-coming, their tails are in sight. Shrimp boats will be on the menu tonight.
A salad of mangoes, papayas, tangerine.
But we have no bananas. I want animal crackers in my soup.
Soup and sandwich.
Who threw the overalls in Mrs. Murphy's chowder?
Boola, boola. Give me a bowl of boola boola.
A bowl of boola boo. A bowl of boola boo. Sing and roll a bowl of boola boola. I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
That's dessert.
Oh, jambalaya, the crawfish, pineapple, and gumbo.
The way you eat, I'm surprised that you don't look like Jumbo.
All that meat, no potatoes. All that meat and no potatoes.
Potatoes are cheaper. Tomatoes are cheaper. Now's the time to cook a stew. Mama don't want no peas, no rice, no coconut oil. Mama don't want no peas, no rice, no coconut oil.
Well, what do we care what mama don't allow? Gonna eat our soul food anyhow. Won't you come with me to Alabama? Black-eyed peas and candy jam. They're fried eggs and baked ham. And that's what I like about the South.
Ooh, if there's one thing I can't stand, it's a noisy eater.
Shoe fly, an apple pen. Daddy makes your eyes light up. Yeah, your stomach say,
please lend your little ears to my plea.
Crisp apple strudel.
Mm-hmm. Schnitzel meat noodle.
Half an egg roll.
Have a spare rib.
Have a little egg for young and mushy pork.
If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake.
Let's have another cup of coffee. And let's have another piece of pie.
Today it's hot cross buns. Hot cross buns. Special today. Today we're having a bakery sale. The merchandise is a little stale. The Easter business is slow and stale.
The merchandise is a little stale. The Easter business was slow as a snail for
ice cream. You scream, we all scream for ice cream.
Hoorah, hoorah, hoorah.
Can't you just
bake the Alaska and the Charlotte Russe?
Caramel.
custard and the chocolate mousse,
cherry cobbler. I could live on dessert.
Did you bring the pickles, pickles, pickles?
Did you bring the mustard, mustard, mustard?
Did you bring the peanuts, peanuts, peanuts?
Did you bring the beer and pretzels too?
Check. Peanuts,
pickles,
hot dogs,
mustard. Does that go with frozen custard food?
Food, glorious food. We're anxious to try it.
Three banquets a day.
Oops,
there goes our diet. Can't wait until party time.
Tyler Moore, Dick Van Dyke.
This is the season. My name is Wensley. My partner is Frank Jones. The chief is Captain Kellogg. December the 24th, Christmas Eve, they brought in a guy named Grudge. When I heard what they booked him on, my blood ran cold. It was a 409-6325-096704. Not believing in Santa Claus. 4:35 p.m. I was working the holiday watch at a homicide with Frank.
Hang up your stocking yet, Joe?
Yeah, just before I come down. You too, Frank?
Always do. Hung it up early just in case I have to work late tonight. Wouldn't want to miss out when Santa Claus comes, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sure wouldn't. Be a shame.
What you gonna do tomorrow, Joe? What you gonna do on Christmas? You got any plans?
Nothing much.
Why don't you come by the house, Joe? We're gonna have Christmas dinner. You know, all the trimmings.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey, celery stuffing, oysters maybe, chestnuts.
Mm-hmm.
All the trimmings. Cranberry sauce. Love to have you.
Mm-hmm.
The missus always fixes a plate of relish with them little carrot sticks. You know, olives, pickles, scallions. Most folks call them green onions, but they're really scallions. Did you ever notice that, Joe?
Ever notice what, Frank?
How most folks call them green onions, but they're really scallions.
Mm-hmm. Scallions.
Anytime after two, Joe. Love to have you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll see.
Love to have you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll see.
The missus always fixes a plate of relish with them carrot sticks. You know them little carrot sticks?
Mm-hmm.
Olives, pickles, scallions.
Mm-hmm. Let's not go through that again.
Love to have you. Go through what again, Joe?
How most folks call them green onions, but they're really scallions.
Oh. You noticed that too, huh, Joe?
Side Wednesday. Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
What's the matter, Joe? What's the matter, Joe?
Bringing a guy in on a 409-6325-096704.
You mean?
Yeah. Guy don't believe in scallions. I mean, Santa Claus. 6:29 p.m. We questioned the guy who didn't believe in Santa Claus, a guy named Grudge. Says here your name's Grudge, is that right?
Yeah.
You said you didn't believe in Santa Claus?
It's hard to believe what you said. Did you really say that?
Sure I said it. How do you know there's a Santa Claus? You got a picture of him?
No, no mugshot.
Any fingerprints?
Mm-mm, no latent prints. I just know that's all. It's like saying there isn't any Easter Bunny.
That's another guy there ain't no of.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's your story, mister.
Joe, he just said that to make me feel bad, didn't he? There really is an Easter Bunny, isn't there? Joe?
Listen, Grudge, didn't I pick you up 3 years ago in the 1492 for not believing in Columbus?
Yeah. I don't believe in Cleveland or Cincinnati either.
How about Toledo?
I ain't made up my mind yet about Toledo.
Okay, mister, I get the picture now. You don't believe in nothing, do you?
Nothing. And you want to know something else?
What's that?
I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk right out of this room. Because you guys ain't got nothing on me. There ain't no law against not believing in Santa Claus.
There is in my book. Let me tell you something, mister. I'm going to prove there's a Santa Claus if it takes me all night.
Yeah, pretty funny. The police department's got nothing else to do.
Let me straighten you out, buddy. This one's on Frank and me. Right, Frank? Right, Frank?
There really is an Easter Bunny, isn't there, Joe? You know, hippity-hopping down the bunny trail.
I took Grudge over to the helicopter, got in, flew around the city for hours. I showed him department stores. What's hurrying in and out of those department stores, Grudge?
Happy people, but I ain't impressed.
I showed him stockings. How are those stockings hung, Grudge?
By the chimney with care, but I didn't hang none up.
I showed him children nestled all snug in their beds. What's dancing in their heads, Grudge?
Visions of sugar plums. But you ain't selling me. There ain't no Santa Claus.
He still didn't believe. There was only one thing left to do. My job, get to the North Pole. 11:45 p.m. We arrived at the North Pole. I set the plane down. We walked over to Sandy's workshop. Rang the bell. Pardon me, sir. Can I ask you a few questions?
Why, sure. Just tickle me to death.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a brownie.
What are you doing at the North Pole with a southern accent?
Well, the boss sort of ran short on help this year, so he had to recruit a few of us brownies from the South Pole.
Mm-hmm. That figures.
What a waste of time.
Could we talk to your boss, please?
Oh, he's out. You would come on the one night he's out in the whole year.
Mm-hmm. What's your particular job, Mr. Brownie?
My boss has 8 tiny reindeer. My job, feed them.
Mm-hmm, yes, sir. What do you feed them?
Well, most times I fix up a little plate of relish. Olives, pickles, and them carrot sticks. You know them little old carrot sticks?
Mm-hmm.
And scallions.
Most folks call them green onions, but they're really scallions.
How do you know?
Just a stab in the dark. The little man showed us through the workshop.
My boss will be back for a second load pretty soon. Say, would you all like to hear an interesting story?
Yes, sir.
Will you see that huge pile of presents over there?
Mm-hmm.
Man, look at all that stuff!
Would you believe it? They're all for the same man, been piling up here year after year.
Why didn't the guy ever get them?
Yeah, why?
Because he didn't believe in my boss. You know the rules.
Mm-hmm, we know.
I don't suppose there's no chance that this guy can still...
Get the presents? Oh, sure. He gets them all the minute he believes. But I don't suppose he ever will.
Too bad about that guy. What's his name?
Don't say it. I don't want to hear it.
Come on, Mr. Brownie. What's his name?
His name? Grudge.
The Brownie saw us to the door, wished us a Merry Christmas. We were heading back to the plane when it happened.
Hey!
Yeah, Grudge?
You know that guy I said I didn't believe in?
Who's that?
Santa Claus?
Yes, sir.
You think I'm too old to change my mind?
You're never too old, Mr. Grudge.
Well, then I believe in Santa Claus and Columbus.
How about Cleveland, Cincinnati, and the Easter Bunny?
Yeah, them too.
And Toledo?
I still ain't made up my mind yet about Toledo.
Look, Grudge, up in the sky. He's coming back for the second load.
It's Santa Claus! It's Santa Claus!
There's the only guy I know can make everybody happy in one night.
Yeah, he must have the biggest heart in the whole world.
That's about the size of it.
The rest of the story. Never in history did a town have so much trouble naming itself than the town of... Well, you see, that was the problem. The town had no name, not even an unofficial one. There were many suggestions, but every time somebody made a suggestion, it was discovered that some other town already had that name. How did the folks find their way to the nameless town? Well, people who lived on the gently rolling hillscape of southern Indiana would simply point and say, over yonder is the nameless town. So that's exactly what they came to call it until one Friday night, late in 1852, on Christmas Eve. And this is the rest of the story. The Christmas Eve service had just concluded in a little log church, and everybody was there. As good a time and place as any to hold the final town meeting of the year, one citizen decided. As had often been the case throughout the years of town meetings since the community's founding, there was only one order of business that night, a name for the nameless town. All were gathered around the pot-bellied wood-burning stove. The circuit-riding preacher who had just preached the service was there, too. He was a popular fellow, the Reverend Christian Wittenbach. So esteemed was this minister that somebody suggested naming the town Wittenbach, Indiana. But I think it was the Reverend himself who respectfully declined. After all, he didn't even live there. The frustrating discussion continued. Now, when I mention everyone was there, I mean everybody. Children, although quiet and not participating, children were included. But then, with a chilly December gust, the door of the church blew open. It was the adults who fell silent, and it was the youngsters who suddenly came to life. For beyond the picture-framed doorway was a magical scene of snowflakes winking on black velvet and the magical sound of sleigh bells. But whose sleigh might it be? All were present, remember. And nobody else for miles and miles around except... That's right. And as the children ran to the doorway, they excitedly shouted the name that every grown-up was thinking. Santa Claus, they cried. It's Santa Claus. Thus, one Christmas Eve, 140 years ago tonight, because of some bells that nobody's ever been able to trace, the little nameless town received its name, Santa Claus, Indiana. And it is so named to this day. The population no longer numbers in the dozens. There are 1,200 residents now. And in a sense, you might say 1,201. For each and every Christmas season, hundreds of thousands of letters arrive in the town's post office. Letters come from all over the world with but a single name inscribed upon them. The inscriptions are often scrawled in crayon, but the letters are sent in utmost sincerity. Of course, you know what the name is on all those envelopes, and you know why those letters arrive where they do, because you know the rest of the story.
My bed. Now what my kids going to think if Santa's a no-show? Well, boy, they'll raise a stink. But deck the halls and what the hell, I've still got my jingle bell. So sucker, you can keep the suit, 'cause frankly I don't give a hoot.
Orange crate, somebody took the whole shebang. If I find that roly-poly mother, he's going to hang. But gee, I guess that's no way to be. He might do some good with it, and all thanks to me. So sucker, you can keep the soup, 'cause frankly, I don't give a hoot.
Christmas Jug Band right there, and Jose Ferrer. Mr. Rosemary Clooney, then. 1960.
I'm a newspaper editor, and I get letters from all kinds of people asking all kinds of questions. And there's one letter that stands out in my mind above all the others.
Dear editor, my name is Virginia. I am 8 years old. Some of my little friends say there is no Santa Claus. But I know if you say so in the paper, it must be true. Please tell me the truth. Is there a Santa Claus?
Dear Virginia, your little friends are wrong. They do not believe what they cannot see. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. He's as real as love and devotion. And Virginia, these are the things that give to life its highest beauty and joy. How sad the world would be if there were no Santa Claus. It would be as sad as if there were no little girls. There would be no childlike faith then, no poetry, no beauty to make bearable this existence. We should have no enjoyment except in what we feel and see. The eternal light with which children fill the world would be put out. Not believe in Santa Claus? You might as well not believe in angels. You know, you might have your daddy hire some men to watch all the chimneys on Christmas Eve to catch Santa Claus. But even if they see him coming down, what would that prove? Nobody sees Santa Claus, but that doesn't mean that there is no Santa Claus. The most real things in the world are those that neither children nor grown-ups can see. Did you ever see angels in the sky? Of course not. But that doesn't prove they're not there. Is it all real? Virginia, in all this world, there's nothing else as real and abiding. No Santa Claus. Thank God he lives and he lives forever. And 1,000 years from now, Virginia, even 10 times 10,000 years from now, he will continue to make glad the hearts of little children.
There's a Santa who looks a lot like Elvis, the king of rock and roll. Take a look at the double chin, he's weighing about 310, with golden chains and sequin belt below. There's a Santa who looks a lot like Elvis, down at the Kmart store. But the scariest sight to see is that jolly VIP in a pompadour. A pair of blue suede boots and a beard with black roots and a face you knew way back when. A drawl in his talk and a swagger and walk and the hips that wiggled back then. My mom and dad can barely wait to see the king again. He's a Santa who sounds a lot like Elvis. There's that faint peanut butter smell whenever he says Noel. Those lips are always twitching to and fro.
There's a Santa who looks a lot like Elvis.
Soon the band will start, and the thing that would pleasure be is a carol by the king right here in Kmart.
You ain't never been
if you want to feed the reindeer, just leave them a peanut butter and nanner sandwich. They'll eat it later.
He's the Santa who looks a lot like Elvis.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
Signs you can't ignore.
Well, I'll help him a few pounds.
It's the wackiest sight to see. Buddy Holly's on his knee.
Oh, you're a skinny little fella, aren't you?
And I'm almost sure it's Elvis once more.
Oh, 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 oh. Thank you very much.
And now, here with a special Christmas message, the immortal Elvis.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. As here is the king. I know I haven't been around much for a while, but I want y'all to know that up here in rock and roll heaven, I'll be thinking of you this Christmas. And I'd like to give y'all a special Christmas message. A message of peace. Like, how about a little piece of that pie going by? Thank you very much. Like I was saying, Christmas is a time of hope, a time of joy, a time for loving. And I sure would love a big slice of that pizza you got there. Okay, thank you much. No worry about that. Oh yeah, Christmas. Now Christmas to me means family. And family means friends. And friends means getting together. And getting together means eating. Oh, pass me that drumstick, would you please? Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. And I just want to say to you right now, you know, I may be a big star, maybe too big, but ain't nobody so big you can't reach out a helping hand. A helping hand. Would you hand me a helping of those mashed potatoes over there, would you please? Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, like I was saying, ain't nobody so big you can't stoop to help a friend in need over the holiday season. Now, speaking of season, you want to pass me that salt shaker when you get the chance? Thank you. Yeah, just unscrew the cover. That's right. Thank you. Thank you very much. So this Christmas, why don't y'all take a tip from old Elvis? No, leave those steak tips right where they are. You know what I mean? No, I appreciate it. Thank you. I want you to remember, we're all part of God's great big family. And you know God made man into his own image. And look in the mirror, I'd have to say God must be a big, big son of a gun. You know what I mean? I think you do. But I especially want y'all to remember this one last thing. When you're all at home this Christmas, stringing that popcorn up on the tree, save a big, big bowl for the king. Extra butter, know what I mean? Well, thank you, dear. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Star.
Mr. Santa, bring me some toys. Bring Merry Christmas to all girls and boys. And every night I'll go to sleep singing and dream about the presents you'll be bringing. Santa, promise me please, give every reindeer a hug and a squeeze. I'll be good as good can be. Mr. Santa, don't forget me.
Music of the Stars, we take a quick break for a look at CBS News and find out what's shaking in this crazy old world of ours. I'm Lou Regani. Merry type Christmas. Be right back till noon.
Washed up the dishes and done what we should. Made up our beds and scrubbed up our toesies. We've used a tissue and we've blown our noses. Santa, look at our ears. They're clean as whistles, we're sharper than shears. Now we've...
You're listening to WRJN and W260 CV Racine, W251 BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Many of President-elect Donald Trump's picks for his administration have sparked some questions, and the latest is...
Former California Congressman Devin Nunes, who runs his Truth Social platform to lead a presidential intelligence advisory board.
CBS's Nicole Killian. ABC News has agreed to pay $15 million to settle a defamation lawsuit brought by the president-elect. Political analyst Larry Sabato.
Defamation was proven to a certain degree, or a degree enough to produce this settlement.
Defamation because of ABC's inaccurate report saying a jury had found Donald Trump raped writer E. Jean Carroll. Instead, Trump was found liable for sexual abuse and defamation. Reports of drone sightings are growing, and New Jersey Representative Chris Smith is demanding action.
Why can't we bag at least one of these drones and get to the bottom of it?
Sightings have been reported in several states, including New Jersey, New York, and Massachusetts. CBS News Brief.
Don Rosen starts